Good morning, friends. Good morning, beloved community. We are so glad that you are here today. My name is Steve Sargent. I'm the minister here at Southwest Central Church of Christ. Whether you are joining us on Facebook Live or here in person, thank you for your presence. We are a better and richer congregation because of your presence here today. If you are in person in the auditorium, feel free to jump on Facebook and say hi to our friends who are not here but are watching online, and send your greetings and your love to them. I know that they would appreciate that. Well, it's been, to say the least, a wild ride for us the last 14, 15 months or so. When the pandemic began in earnest, we shifted and stumbled our way into solely online services. Those of you who are Facebook pros transitioned easily. Those of you who did not have Facebook got it. And those of you who had sworn off Facebook forever got back on so that you could be with this community. Except for the times when the electricity went out, or the Wi-Fi ran too slow, or the feed altogether just stopped, we largely smoothed out our online gatherings because we had a ton of practices and glitches became rare. My face streamed right onto your computer screen or phone every week, Chelsea's every week, Cora's every week, and maybe God's spirits too. And hopefully you were encouraged or heartened or challenged. The virus, of course, was not the only thing that we had to contend with. We also grappled with George Floyd's murder and riots in our capital and constant unrest in our messy world. And while our individual responses to some of those things varied, our collective desire for God's kingdom to come did not. So we served and celebrated as we could, breaking bread in our homes during communion, making phone calls to persons who were shut in, buying groceries for our neighbors, attending drive-by birthday parties. God has watched over us. We also said farewell to friends like the Tuckers who moved to Austin. We said goodbye to matriarchs like Joyce Van Houten, who, though now absent in person, has not left us in spirit. We said goodbye to Clarence Frazier, who taught us about hospitality. We did all that for 53 weeks before our shepherds gave the green light for meeting in person again. 25 max at first, and please call to reserve a spot. I confess to you, my nerves were quite high during those first few services, not having been in a crowd that large in months. But the joy in actually seeing some of you outweighed my stress, and it was good. So good, in fact, that a few weeks after that, we bumped up our max to 40 persons, still requesting that you would let us know if you plan on coming. To today, when we feel comfortable enough to remove our capacity limits. COVID cases continue to drop, and so many of you have been vaccinated. I am so incredibly thankful for that. The more of us that become vaccinated, the more open we can become. We still have our chairs spaced apart, as you can see, and we've still asked that you wear a mask. We have immunocompromised persons among us, as well as younger children. And we've kindly asked that the masks stay for now. We certainly hope to make masks optional sooner rather than later. I know this policy is not everyone's preferences, and we appreciate your patience in that regard. We'll get there. We also hope to have some in-person classes going on again this summer, and we'll keep you updated about that too. Whatever our return to normal looks like, here's what I hope. That the innovative, replenishing, unfazed, ever-breathing Spirit of God would form us and shape us however God sees fit. My prayer is that God's Spirit would draw us ever closer to the one who is saving us, and that we may sing in praise together. My prayer is that the name of Christ, which is plastered on our church sign out front, would even more become the center of our lives, that our discipleship and spiritual formation would make us more like him, and that more people would be called to join this journey with us. These seem like good hopes and good prayers to me, especially since today is Pentecost, when we remember how the Holy Spirit can transform an unsuspecting people. Dee Pipes will preach a message this morning that has been on her heart and mind for quite some time, and we look forward to hearing that. So open your own mind and heart this morning. May God's Spirit speak and stir and sit and settle wherever God's Spirit so chooses. If you are watching at home, now is a good time to grab communion supplies, bread, cup, whatever you're using for that. We'll share that after Dee's sermon. In a bit, Brent will come and lead us in song. Cora, of course, will come and light our candle, our Christ candle, which reminds us that Christ is indeed with us. Cora, come and light the candle, and then I will read our psalm for this morning. And now I want to please invite you to stand as I read from Psalm 104. Let's remain standing for the songs that Brent will lead us in. Psalm 104. O Lord, what a variety of things you have made. In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Here is the ocean, vast and wide, teeming with life of every kind, both large and small. When you give them your breath, life is created, and you renew the face of the earth. May the glory of the Lord continue forever. The Lord takes pleasure in all that he has made. The earth trembles at his glance. The mountains smoke at his touch. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing to God to my very last breath. May all my thoughts be pleasing to him, for I rejoice in the Lord.
Let's sing. Breathe on me, breath of God, fill me with life anew, that I may love what thou dost love, and do what thou wouldst do. Breathe on me, breath of God, until my heart is pure, until my will is one with thine, to do and to endure. Breathe on me, breath of God, till I am wholly thine, until this earthly part of me glows with thy fire divine. Breathe on me, breath of God, so shall I never die, but live with thee the perfect life of thine eternity. Praise God, from whom all blessings blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Please be seated.
Before Jeff comes up and reads our text for this morning, I want to remind our youngest friends that hopefully you had a Lee's bulletin sent to you in the mail. If you need one, there are a couple at the back table for you. You see the Psalm 104 that I read a little bit earlier, and there are a couple of activities on the back, including talking about the birthday of the church. That's sometimes what Pentecost is called. So that is for you if you would like to use that. Jeff, come and read our text for today.
From Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." The word of the Lord.
Good morning. It's wonderful to be here. Thank you, Jeff, for reading. Jeff talked to me. He came up earlier and said, "Who thought of me for this reading?" And he said it in such a pleasant way that I thought it was the invitation for a compliment. So I said, "Oh, I did." And he said, "Do you have any idea how many place names?" There are 15, Jeff. Yes. Okay. And an illustration of what's going on there will be that Jeff said the place names wonderfully. And I'm going to say the place names wonderfully. And they may not exactly match how Jeff had said them. Because everyone who really, really knows how to say those place names is long, long since dead. Some of you, the Waltmans came to us just before the COVID close, and so one of the blessings as we've been able to come back is getting to know, for all of us to be able to get to know the Waltmans, and they're just delightful and fun. So, thank you, Jeff. We all know the story that Jeff read, don't we? We know about Pentecost, though yesterday I learned that in churches that wear liturgical robes, this is a red Sunday. I don't know if someone was thinking about that or not. Thank you, Steve. I didn't, after I learned that, switch what I planned to wear. We remember in years past, and Steve, you did a great job of kind of starting that remembrance idea, that when we were here on Pentecost, we would have this piece enacted for us. Our congregation is blessed with so many people who speak or read a language in addition to Egypt. I remember in particular one year there was a line of people and there was a place to speak from. I don't know if it was a lectern or whatever up here. And I remember, and this is not in any particular order, Layla Beseda reading in Arabic. She had left the French for King to read. Michael Tucker reading in Korean from, and he learned to read in Korean from the work assignment that he had in Korea. Mercy Mbani in one of the languages spoken in Nigeria. Josephine Mendoza in Tagalog from the Philippines. And either Claudia Suarez or maybe Lupe Ramirez in Spanish. I don't remember which one it was at that time. And I may have forgotten some. I might be running several of these reenactments together. We've done something like that several times, and each time was wonderful. Each time we strengthen the bonds of the things we share by learning new things about each other, reminding us that we each have gifts, some of them less frequently seen than others. Think back on that and remember that we had people read one at a time. There was a little bit of shuffling as first one person came up and then another. Think of how amazing the sound would have been if somehow mic'd everyone had read at one time. Some higher voices, some lower voices, all the different sounds pouring over you. With our reading of Pentecost, we put ourselves in kind of a modern version of what happened that day. But when we do it, we put ourselves in the position of the apostles and sense a little bit of what they saw and heard. We hear it, we imagine it from Peter's point of view or from Thomas's point of view. We certainly have other sermons from that point of view. Peter, most typically, at the fire after Jesus was arrested. And in the back of my mind, I think sometimes, or I want to believe, no, I wouldn't have done that. We might hear, we recently did, about Peter and James and John at the Transfiguration, where Peter stumbled with the words to say, so overwhelmed was he by awe. Or Thomas, seeing the risen Lord after everyone else, and we sometimes focus on Thomas's requirement of touching Christ's wounds rather than on his most wonderful confession when he saw the risen Lord, my Lord and my God. That's where we put ourselves when we listen to this wonderful message in languages we don't speak, in an outsider's point of view, the apostles' view of the miracle. As Steve said, I have longed to talk to you about Pentecost in this new way. I'd thought about it for several years. Probably in 2019, I said, I want to do this. But the lectionary didn't include this reading for Pentecost. So Steve Sargent said I could speak the next year. Pentecost 2020. Okay, now we need to remember Steve Sandifer's sermon at the beginning of the year. We make plans, but... So now, Pentecost 2021, I am here, grateful to share these thoughts. They are thoughts. They're not the only way to see the verses. They're not better to way to see the verses. They're like the story itself. Just another view. Let's take a look at the scene in Jerusalem on that Pentecost day from our modern imagining what it would be like. Pentecost was a Jewish feast, the Feast of First Fruits. That means that it came at a time that the first fruits, probably barley, had been harvested. And it's a feast, it's a celebration. What better way to celebrate than, praise God, we have something to eat for the next year? Who could have been in that crowd? On one of the days of Pentecost in Jerusalem, so many people rushing to the temple, visitors looking to find lodging, food, and their items for the temple offering. We can imagine a young Levite who had come from Parthia, from what had been the heart of the Babylonian Empire. He was the youngest son in his family. And his father had sent him. It was a time of lots of rebellion, trouble with Rome all along the six-week journey. It was his father's time to serve, but he sent his son instead. The young man is worried. He has had a grueling trek. He doesn't know exactly what to do when he serves. His father wasn't really expecting him to make it all the way to Jerusalem. He's been walking for about 700 miles from his region in Parthia, Babylon. He's scared. He's scared of God, of the other Levites, of the priests who live in the temple, of the temple, of the crowds. He's in the crowd, following along, hoping to find the temple because he's hungry. And he's almost out of money for food. His father said that the priest in the temple would feed him. He speaks Babylonian and a little Hebrew for the prayers. So he has no idea of how he's going to communicate with them. And all of a sudden, in the crowd, he hears a big, loud gush of wind. And he hears in that wind the story of Jesus crucified and risen again from the dead to bring salvation to the sons of Abraham. And he hears it in Babylonian. Hallelujah. Praise God. The Holy Spirit's message whispered, murmured to him perhaps, "Do not let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." And maybe the young Levite from Babylon heard, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside of your father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than the sparrows." And there in the crowd, we can imagine a young woman, a girl really. We'll call her Rachel. She's the oldest child in her family. Her mother, a widow with four girls, found Rachel a job as a maid with a Jewish family who lives in Tyre, the Ben Isaacs. Rachel's 12. Her father was a sailor sailing out of Tyre. Her father had belonged to the synagogue with the Ben Isaacs family. So when he died, Mr. Ben Isaacs said she could come and work for the family as a nursery maid. He doesn't pay his mother. He gives the mother and her younger sister some grain, but not flour. He lets them come to his fields to work in the planting and the harvest, but barely pays all three of them. Still, in the household, she gets to eat. She gets up very early to help the maid who cooks. She brings in the firewood and cooks for the two babies. The man has twin sons who are newborns and two older girls. The Ben Isaacs come to one of the high holy days in Jerusalem every year. But this is Rachel's first trip. She's excited to see the temple. She speaks Phoenician. She's never seen crowds like this. So she never lets Mrs. Ben Isaacs out of her sight. Rachel would love in the crowds to hold Mrs. Ben Isaacs' skirt or hand but the little girls have taken those spots. So Rachel carries one of the twins and stays very, very close. Then the roaring wind comes. People appear talking with flames of fire dancing above their heads. Everyone is so stunned that they stop to stare and to listen. Rachel hears the good news of Jesus, who died for her sins and rose again. And she hears, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And they all, Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya that are close to Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, they all heard the good news. They were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord will call." And many were baptized. And today, we still hear the Spirit's call, the roaring or the whispering, telling us, each of us, exactly what we need. And what you hear may not be what I need to hear. What you hear may be so different, it's as though it were a foreign language. But what I hear is exactly what I need to hear. So I listen closely, and I listen often. And I remember, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside my Father's care, and even the very hairs of my head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many, many sparrows. And if you are with us today, here or on Facebook, and want to be baptized, hallelujah! Let us know, and we will help you be baptized, and we will consider it a huge blessing to do so. The Holy Spirit speaks to you, and to me, and to all whom the Lord our God will call. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and
The Spirit of God, which speaks to us, also draws us to the table. Dee, thank you for reminding us of these things and commissioning us in these ways. So we eat and drink together because Christ is among us. Christ is in us. Christ is with us. In a bit, we're going to share the bread and the cup. And as we've done recently, I'm going to ask just for a couple of volunteers to help me, please. I'm going to do this side today because I've been neglecting this side. So you're with me today. I need a volunteer maybe for the middle and then one to my left over here if you'd like. There's some hand sanitizer you can use before you pick up the bread tray and the cup tray. I typically say when I give the bread, this is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the blood of Christ poured out for you, speaking to each person that I give it to. Let's pray together, and then hopefully a couple of you will help me up here, please. O Christ, who does all things well, we give you thanks. We give you thanks for the fruit of the earth, which has become bread that sustains us, which has become the cup which gives us life. In these we see Christ, and we see Christ in each other. What a gift this is this morning. It's through Christ and we pray and do all things. Amen.
To the weary, the worn, and the weak, and the same gentle hands that hold me where I'm broken, they conquer death to bring the victory. My Redeemer lives.
Thank you, too, for serving today. Cora, thanks for joining me. Carter and Caleb, thank you for that, too. You see our friend Glenn up here? He is going to pass around the offering plate in just a moment. Let me get that for you, Glenn. If you have an offering to give, part of your monthly commitment, weekly commitment, you can just raise your hand and Glenn will come by and take those. Also, if you have any of those yellow cards, Dee wrote an excellent article this week about that in our newsletter. If you have anything like that, you can place it in the offering plate. Let me pray and then Glenn's going to walk around. Thank you, God, for the opportunity to give today. You have given out of your abundance, and so we give also as you have given to us. Thank you for this church and her generosity to our neighbors, to our community, for our commitment to it. Bless these funds in the name of Jesus. Amen. Speaking of giving, as you know, the last month or so, we've been talking about Missions Love Offering, which did last for about 4 weeks, 5 weeks. We talked about Reggie Hiller, talked about her last week, and Glenn Langston a couple weeks ago. We did interviews with the both of them. You gave around $8,500 to them. We're going to split it 50-50 and share that, and they can use that, spend that however they so choose. And so thank you for giving as you have once again this year. What a gift that is. We've started to do this every 6 months, so come November, December, we will do that once again to continue our commitment to support them and their work. Let me grab two things off of my chair real fast. Mercy and Bonnie handed me a note last week, and she wanted to simultaneously embarrass her son King and give thanks to you for your support with King. As you know, he just graduated college a couple weeks ago, so she wrote this note for you that she wanted me to read. To Southwest Central Church, thank you so much for all you have done for my family. God bless each and every one of you. Love, Mercy, and Bonnie. So thank you for that. Earlier, I talked about Joyce Van Houten and Clarence Frazier, both of whom passed in the last several months. Some of you may remember Lawrence Motley. Lawrence lived just down the street from us at the Belfer Park Apartments. Jesse Gay came up to me during last week's service and told me that Lawrence was a victim of senseless violence down at the apartment complex, and we want to grieve our loss for Lawrence. Lawrence was an occasional attender here at this congregation. If you look back in directories 10, 15 years ago, you'll see his picture there. Lawrence would always sit in this back left-hand corner, and whenever I went up to him, he would envelop my hand with his very large hands and give me this extremely warm smile. I did a quick Google search and found that his service was going on just a couple days ago, last Thursday, so I went on behalf of this congregation, represented you, and on the right up there, that is the bulletin that they gave. It's right here. I'm going to leave it up on the table if you would like to look at that and one of the pictures in there. One of my regrets is I did not know Lawrence as well as maybe I wanted to have known him, looking back in hindsight, if that makes sense. In the eulogy, it says, Lawrence was educated in the Houston Independent School District, inducted into the United States Army, worked the Veteran Administration Hospital for over 30 years, Houston Livestock and Livestock Show and Rodeo for 20 years, and at the Toyota Center for 10 years. That's just the extent of what they wrote in there, and I didn't know any of that, and I'm very sad about that. I am, however, very grateful that I got to sit in there as people told stories about Lawrence's life, as family members and friends got up to give thanks to God for knowing him, and it was very beautiful. So today, before Dee comes up and sends us out, go and love your neighbors well. Ask questions and listen. If there are people, even here among us, that are new to you or you don't know very well, go ask them some questions. Introduce yourself. Make sure you get to know their name and know them. Dee, please come and send us out. I want to invite you to stand, please, as she comes and does so.
Thank you very much for being my church. I love and appreciate you all. In this week to come, let us go out and listen in the loud, booming, rushing wind and in the soft quiet, and come back next week and share what we have heard. Go.